We're going to look, though, at something that's very interesting that people say, can I know God and is God interested in my life? And I've entitled it The Mystique Mistake. The Mystique Mistake. Meaning that so many people believe God is a mystery. They believe that He is a force that you cannot know, or He's very mystical and you cannot have a relationship with. And it's this search, it's this entire lifelong search of finding God. And we know clearly from Scripture that that's not true. You can know God. Actually, He's working constantly in our lives and in your life to be known so that we can know Him. Paul says that I may know Him. And we ought to be able to know that. So through Scripture, we're going to see that a few things here tonight on knowing God. God is interested in me. I read an article recently about individuals who are contemplating ending their own lives. And they made the statement of, nobody cares about me. Nobody cares. And that's a sad, really, truth today, isn't it? People just don't care. I could care less about that guy's problems. I got my own problems. You know, that's sometimes our mentality, isn't it? I don't really have time for that. And people, if you understand, if they're not very friendly or outgoing and that sort, they can kind of be a little bit lonely. And people get very lonely. People get very, very tired in this world, and they believe nobody cares. Well, God cares, and that's what we try and preach to people. That's what we try and share to the folks around us, don't we, all the time with the gospel we share. God cares, and He loves you. But notice this as we get through this. Let's start out Genesis 1, verse number 26. Let's go there. Genesis 1, 26, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. God created man, you know, for a purpose, for a reason. Some people today have the idea, especially back in, around the 5th century or so, they believed there's something that they could hone in on and point to, that God created man and just left him, let him be. God created man and just abandoned him. That's not true. We know that from Scripture clearly. God created us for a reason. God loves us. Now, it seems that natural man throughout the centuries of human history has repeatedly come to the fallacy of belief that God is only knowable in a mystic or mysterious form. Many man, woman, and even a child has come to a certain vulnerable, searching period of their lives and found this mystic God in whom they wholeheartedly embrace as the one true God of the universe. Many religions have been started based upon this illusion produced by the enemy of God that the God of the Bible is mysterious and unknowable. Now, you know that, right? Many false views and false religions and cults really believe they've come into this. They saw a vision. They saw some kind of mysterious thing, and that's the God they worship. That's the God they follow. God's not mystery. God is clear. God is known, and I'm so thankful for that. As we sang tonight, the solid rock. All other ground is sinking sand. Everything else. A fellow was giving a testimony about his search for the truth, and he'd gone through everything. Went through Buddhism, went through Confucianism, went through Mormonism, he went through Jehovah's Witness, went through the Catholic system. He said he was just going through everything, trying to search for the truth, finding the truth. He said, I just want to know the truth. And finally, he said he got alone one night in his bedroom and just said, Lord, or God, if you're out there, I want to know the truth. I want to know. And you know the surprising thing he said? He didn't see a vision. He didn't hear a voice from the closet. No, he felt in his heart a leading to the Word of God, to the Bible. He said, I've got to find and read the Bible. And clearly, this is the evidence of the Holy Spirit and the Bible. Again, they never contradict each other, always coincide. Now again, coming back to, I heard this and you've heard it before. You may have family members, you may have co-workers, you may have people reading a book just recently about a girl, a lady, wrote this big old series of books and made millions of dollars. She's pretty smart, but about her vision of heaven or vision of God. And if some vision came into her bedroom or house or something, and she looked up and said, who are you? And he said, I am God. I'm the living God. You know, and she started to tell. People said, well, what did the vision say? What did the vision look like? What was it? This, and it directly opposed the Scriptures. And anytime you see that or have something like that, by the way, go to the Bible. If it contradicts, it's wrong. You know that. But I'm thinking about people say God is mysterious. There's a mysterious form. Again, a lot of our entertainment today, as you know, is about mystery. Our entertainment. I mean, back in the day, it was Scooby-Doo. Remember? The Mystery Wagon. Now these kids, our poor kids, they watch some of this. You can't even watch My Little Pony. I don't know if I can say that. Sometimes, you know, they got a lot of that mysticism in there, don't they? It's this crystal ball and the wand you wave and all these things happen and all this mystical stuff. And that's what our world is today. And we need to be very careful about that. these conclusions by these people, or the conclusions, as you investigate the truth, you compare it to the scriptures, you find it to be false. This points us to the obvious and blatant source, the Bible, the Word of God. This book in which has stirred such controversy and dilemma for so many throughout the annals of history because of these believers being completely convinced of a personal and intimate relationship with God. And again, coming back to that, as I said before, I've heard before somebody say to me, I know what the Bible says, but I know what my experience was, and my experience supersedes the Bible. Okay, and we know that's not true. That's not true. We have to be very careful and cautious, you dear folks. No. Now, thinking through this, let me skip ahead a few things here. The Bible reveals who God is, obviously. Who is this God? Does God want me to know Him? Is He interested in my life? Is He interested in me? Does He want to care about my problems, my feelings, all of that? And the answer is obviously yes. Now, looking through this, we'll be using solely the Bible to search through what the truth is and to why. We don't believe God is mystical. We don't believe He's just out there floating around somewhere. And you have to meet certain standards and do this certain codes to find Him out. No, we don't. We follow the truth. He's clear, concise. Now, we start here. As we see here, the first mention truly of man was found obviously here in our text. The man. The Bible's clear that God created him in His image. As we see that, we find the Creator God with a desire and a plan to create man. Now, do you know that? God has a plan for your life. Doesn't matter. People say, well, there's no plan for my life. Yeah, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for the life of that man who's in a wheelchair with MS. Right? God has a plan. God has a plan for that young girl who has been treated horribly and abused by somebody in her own home. He has a plan. People say, well, what is that plan? We can't answer that, only God can. And if you'll trust Him, you'll give your heart to Him, He'll reveal it to you. He'll reveal His perfect will to you. But thinking about this, some people say God is not working today as He once was, and He truly is. He is. He created man in His likeness and His image. God willfully created, not by accidents, not out of necessity. Do you think God needed us? No. We have done a lot of damage. We've done enough already. God didn't create us out of necessity. He didn't create us because He needed us. We know that. But out of a desire, He created man for His glory. Now again, Isaiah 43 makes that clear. God created man for His glory, for His glory. And that's where we ought to be living our lives. You ought to be praying that daily. Lord, did I glorify You today with my life? As with every creation of God, it was created for that very reason, bringing glory to the Creator God. So we can see that if a God created man for His pleasure and in His likeness, He would make it very clear as to what His creation was to do and not to do, as we said this morning. There's a God, and He created us, He gave us rules, He gave us a book to follow, and we follow that. Find out what God wants you to do and do it. Find out what God has for your life and do that very thing. Why? Because I want to please Him. He has power, He has control to cast into hell, to enter into paradise. Truly, He has the power. And that's what He told that man that day. Fear Him who has a power. Fear Him who has that power. He would make it very clear to us how to please Him, how to glorify Him. So we find in Scripture and, let me say, science, that God does not create and abandon, but rather creates and sustains. God does not create and abandon, He creates and sustains. He sustains that. He provides everything. And by the way, when you submit your life to Christ, He will provide everything you need to be successful in your Christian life. Everything. You will not lack one thing. What did He tell the nation of Israel? You will not lack one good thing in your life. I'll provide everything for you. You are entering in, Joshua, into a land that you did not build. I'm going to give you houses that you did not construct. I'm going to give you vineyards, olive yards that you did not plant. I'll provide for you. Now for us today, you know that clear. God's provided everything for us to live the successful Christian life. And by the way, he makes it clear to Joshua that is found in this book, the Bible. Now a couple things here that we see by way of this. Number one, notice the resemblance. The resemblance, verse 26, created him in his image and his likeness. He takes ownership of his creation to the point of creating man in his own image and his own likeness. If you're going to be mysterious, and if you're going to be a distant God with your creation, you're not going to create them with your personality traits and inherent qualities, are you? No, it's going to be distant. You're going to create them in a way that you can back off from, mysterious. No, in fact, we were created, and you know that. You get that little funny feeling sometimes in your heart, and you go, huh, I wonder if I should do that or do this. Well, that's from God, right? You get that inkling to go and help somebody, or man, I should go buy that guy a hot dog or something, you know. That's from the Holy Spirit. That's from the saved person. But also, you folks remember when you were unsaved, you had some of those feelings as well. You had that good, inerrant goodness within you. You had that morality about you. And that's from God. Again, God is a moral God. And he put that code within us by way of being moral. So he put the likeness and image. A creator God who is mysterious would not create us with a resemblance. A resemblance. As you recall, once in the Bible, they said, they came, I think it's in the book of Judges, and they said, what did those guys look like that you killed? And they said they had the image of a king, or they resembled a king, meaning he was part of your family. You resembled them together. There's a resemblance there. We think about David. David had some sons, and they knew it was David's sons. Why? Because of a resemblance. You think through that. God made us in his image. God created us with those qualities, with those things. Now, let me say secondly, he gave us then responsibility. He gave us responsibility. He blessed them, verse 28, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Again, responsibility. You know this very true, but I believe a lot of the degradation of our society today is because men and women don't have to work. And we're created to work, to work. There's something about the human structure, our chemical makeup, that when you expel energy daily and you do something of that nature and you sweat, you truly are a healthier person. And it's clear. But the responsibility given to us by God, God's given us responsibility. Responsibility to hone in things and take care of business. And again, shame on us as Christians for being lazy. Lazy Christians. I'm speaking to myself. Lazy to do what I'm supposed to do, lazy to fulfill my duty and follow through and be prepared and sharing the gospel and inviting people, all of that. God gave man responsibility immediately after creating him. This is another proof text of God having a close, intimate relationship with his creation. With responsibility comes accountability, and man was instantly accountable to God. Every responsibility you're given comes directly with it, accountability, doesn't it? Accountability. Did you get that done like I asked you to do on Monday? No, I didn't. did you go get this done and get that done? We were yesterday. We were in Albuquerque. We went and we ate at a restaurant. Well, we didn't eat at it. We had to pick it up and go, you know. And but it was a restaurant that I had worked at for one day. One day. And I went in when I was a teenager and I got a job and they hired me and I worked for one day. And then I quit. And I didn't really quit. I just kind of weaseled out of it and didn't fulfill my duty there. But anyways, my wife and kids sure brought that up to me as we were eating there. They said, hey, didn't you should ask for an application. Ha, 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 ha. And I thought, that's not very funny. And you think about it. But with every responsibility he gives or comes with accountability, man is instantly accountable to God. He's accountable to God. And we know that. The Bible is clear throughout its pages that we are accountable to God. In order for there to be responsibility, there would necessitate a close personal accountability from man to God. And with responsibility comes detailed expectations from God and what he requires from man. He's a loving God. He's a gracious God, okay? He gives us responsibility, and then he gives us detailed expectations of what he wants us to do. You ever had a boss before tell you, okay, go get this done, and doesn't give you any details of what to do? And you try your best to get it done, and then ultimately you fail. Oh, you didn't do that right. You know, I am so thankful for the Lord God, because he said, Tim, here's what I want you to do. Okay, Lord, what do I do now? He says, okay, here's a book, 66 books compiled together to follow. Oh, okay, I got it, right? A detailed account, details in order to fulfill the will of God. So we have resemblance, we have responsibility. Let me say number three, there's a replenishing, as you know. God commands them to replenish the earth, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion over all. A reproduction, we know. And again, coming back to God giving them instructions, God being close to them, God loving them, God caring. Again, we have a loving and caring God. Trying to preach that and help people to see that God loves them, God cares for them. God wants to see them succeed in life. He doesn't want to abandon us. I think about so many religions today that have that kind of attitude, have that kind of spirit. The God, you cannot know him. You have to attain. I think about Muslims today, You have to do certain things to even begin to even know God or their God, they say. You have to do things that would be so contrary to what we believe today and obviously the Bible, but contrary to horrific things. You have to do certain things to those in your family and other things just to get to maybe attain. I think about Hinduism. And Hinduism, you go and you pray. They have something, can't remember what it was, umpteen million gods they have. And you go to a little hut that they have with these hundreds of gods in it. And you pray to one and say, oh, would you heal my daughter? Would you heal my father? Would you heal, you know, would you take care of us and provide finance? And all you're doing is guessing. You're hoping some God will answer in some way. That's no way to live for a human being. And thank God we live in America today and we have all that we have. But we have a God. We have the God, the true God, that loves us and cares for us. He's given you responsibility. Don't gripe and complain about it, but accept it and say, God, thank you. I get to serve. Thank you. I get to know you. Thank you. I have some responsibility. You give me accountability. You check up on me because you love me. You ask how I'm doing. You're asking to see how I'm getting things done and all of that. Replenish. But notice also he gives a requirement. Now, turn over to chapter 2 and verse 17 here. 2:17, notice, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now here comes a requirement. Oh, God is so harsh. God is playing games. God is dangling the carrot in front of them. No, he's not, right? They were given a requirement not to eat of a certain tree. This was a command to refrain from taking of, again, there we see free will, something God did not want them to partake of. Here we find the first indication of death in Scripture. Now note with me, everything prior to this was labeled living or alive, but now we have a mention of a warning of certain death if disobedience ensued. Now God clearly makes it known to them that there is death. There is a death. If you disobey, there's death. There's a requirement given to us. Again, coming back to a parent-child relationship, you don't just always tell them the good stuff. Life is great, the mountains are beautiful, the trees are green, and everything's good. No, what do? You start to slowly implement as they get older and older, the harshness of life, warning them, honey, don't run in the street. Honey, don't hang out with those people. Don't go there. Son, don't do that. Don't do this. What are you doing? Oh, you're harsh? No, you're doing it out of love. You know that. There's a requirement given, a requirement. And God asks us to follow him, trust him. As I've said before, God is a gentleman. He's sweet. He's kind to us. He's long-suffering. He won't twist our arm to follow him. He won't twist our arm to do his will. But what he asks us to do, we ought to respond to, because we know he has our best interests in mind. But also notice this, there's a reward from a God that has made himself known. Verse 18 of chapter 2. Notice, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. And every man said, amen. Good man. I'm trying to help you out here, okay? Keep you out of trouble. Lord God, did you not be alone? I'll make him a help meet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And so we see here, As we will continue in a minute, that God gave him a reward, if you will. God provides companionship for this man. A God that is distant and mysterious to us would not reward us, even have certain concern over our state of being to provide us a helpmeet for us. God saw the need of Adam, right? God saw the need for man. I'm going to provide a helpmeet. I'm going to provide somebody, not just a friend, not just a buddy, not just a pal, but a person, I'll leave it at that, a wife, okay? A wife, a reward for this man. He saw the need and provided it out of love and care for his creation. We know the fruit of the womb is his reward. Psalm 127 clearly says that. And God blesses. God provides. There's a reward. We have a God that rewards us daily, doesn't he? Daily. Takes care of us. He loves us. He cares for us. He nurtures us. You just take some time. We were talking to an individual this week. I can't remember his name, but he lost his son to MS. We were talking on the job site just a few days ago. And he was talking about it was real hard on his family and such. And you think about some of that. There's people going through some very difficult times, very difficult seasons. And you think, well, I can't pay my bills this week and this and that. There's people going through much worse things than we are, isn't there? And you, dear folks, are so sweet, kind, and pray for those I know. But you think about God rewards. God takes care of us daily. You say, well, God hasn't taken care of me lately. Didn't give me nothing nice. Oh, yes, he has. He has. And when you spend time with him in Scripture, spend time in prayer, you will know that very clearly. Okay, let me say, by way, my last point here that we will see. Now, not only God revealed himself, there is now an attack upon the revealed God. Now, chapter 3 we come to, and you know this scripture of the great temptation and the sin that enters humanity, the attack upon the revealed God. Now, how does the serpent or Satan attack God? He begins to question God's revelation of himself to mankind, basically, doesn't he? Did God really say that? You think God revealed himself for that reason or this reason? Do you think he wants you to be successful, or do you think he's playing games with you? Do you think that he's restricting you? You think he really given you all the... Why would he restrict you with that one little thing? Why? What is it? There's an attack upon it. There's an attack. You'll notice this in this world today, in this sinful world we live, that people question the reality of God and they question the revelation of God, don't they? God can't be known. I don't know about God. Why? How do they prove that? By their daily lives. They don't seek God. They don't spend time with the living God. They don't communicate with God. They don't talk to God in prayer. They don't seek him through scriptures. What are they saying? God is mysterious. I can't know him. We see here now, notice verse 1 of chapter 3. There's a limited revelation. Limited. The serpent comes to Eve and questions the very word of God revealed to them. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Yes, he said that. Did he say that? This is the same tactic used today by those that oppose the real creating God with personal interaction with his creation. God has not revealed all you need to know. He's keeping back pertinent information that would benefit you. By the way, it's always about you, it's benefiting you. You make sure you know, make sure you're comfortable, make sure you have everything you need, make sure God's keeping stuff back from you, you know. God's keeping things away from you. Limited revelation. I will hone in on this a little bit more next week. But you think about it, that's the tactic of the world today. God is mystery, God can't be known. Number two, that he's a lying reptile I have here for alliteration purposes. The lying reptile. There's always an attack upon the validity of the words of God. We covered this a couple months ago. But we think about, don't ever underestimate the relentless attack of the enemy. He's always attacking. You found that to be true? That when you're seeming to be the most spiritual you are, you've been praying like you should, you're reading your Bible like you should, you're doing what you're supposed to do, does the enemy quit? Absolutely not. He intensifies that attack, doesn't he? He tells you you're not good enough, tells you you can't do it, tells you people don't love you, tells you that it's not worth it. All of those things. And so he lies to you. There's an attack upon the revealed word of God. Satan comes to us in all different types of disguises in an attempt to destroy our faith in the word of God. All different types. Note the approach. First is that you don't know all you need to know. God has withheld vital information. Second is that your eyes will be open. You'll be in the dark. and don't know the truth. By the way, it's always about light. Have you ever noticed this? When people see a vision or something, it's always a bright light. It's always a light. It's always a light. It's just things like that. And it's always a false light. God is light. Jesus is light. You know that? They said in Revelation that there'll be no need for the sun in heaven. Why? Jesus is there. He's light. He is the light. You think about this. There's a false light. He always works to try and be a counterfeit to everything God produces. Everything Jesus produces, there's a counterfeit by Satan. We have a Bible, he puts out counterfeit Bibles. There's a church, puts out a counterfeit church, right? There's prayer, there's counterfeit prayer. Now you got to pray to a certain saint. You got to pray to a certain idol. You got to know everything out there. We have a loving, godly family, there's a counterfeit family. We have a good marriage, there's a counterfeit marriage out there waiting. Well, she looks like this, looks better than this, and he looks better than this, and it's always something there to pull us away. But you think about it, there is something there. Now, he convinces her she needs what's called extra-biblical revelation, that God has chosen not to inform her completely because he sees her as subordinate. Now, again, coming back to this, you dear godly ladies, thank you for your faithfulness, but we must be careful about that. He tries to push that. Oh, you're subordinate. You're lower. No, you're not. It's when two individuals, clearly New Testament, two individuals are submitted. Here's Christ, submitted to Christ. There's none of this. It's not man over woman. It's two people coming together in unison, isn't it? And willingly submitting to each other, first to Christ and to each other. And the roles set their own place there after you do that. Now, won't get into that. But we see here, extra-biblical revelation. Anytime someone sees a vision, as we said earlier, or a mysterious force, they never come. Do you notice they never come to the Bible? Well, you know, it coincided exactly with Ephesians 4 and 5. Wow. No, they never do that. It's always contradictory to the Bible. And again, coming back, we must know our Bibles. Now, let me wrap it up here. We see here, Satan always does this. Again, thirdly, that they will become as gods, knowing good and evil. Their eyes will be open. They didn't gain knowledge of good and evil. They did not become gods. And Satan always provides just enough information to convince you that sin will benefit you in the long run, even if it's a temporary fulfillment. Again, don't sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the temporary. And so he always convinces you. Just enough information to convince you. Just enough there. Just enough. That feels good, doesn't it? Yeah. Have at it. Have at it. Just enough. Will it hurt me?
No.
No, no. Not at all. Look at all those people. They're fine. They're fine. Wow, that you like that, don't you? Makes you feel good, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Will it hurt me? Will it ruin my family? Maybe. Slight chance. Some do, some don't. I think you've got a good chance of succeeding, right? Yeah, we deal with that, don't we? And you think through. He gives that just enough information. Okay? And then let me say here, and I'll conclude here. We'll finish next week. The lustful right that he persuades Eve. Eve was deceived into believing that she had a right to fulfill her lustful need. And again, coming back to trusting the word, this word of the world, over the capital W word of God. It's a blatant lie from the world today. We have a right, they will proclaim, they say. The Bible puts a hamper on your life. So again, coming back to the mysterious thing, the mysterious. Yea, hath God said? Is God mystery? Does God know all? Yes. We don't need to question that. Did he say that? Yea, hath God said? Yeah, he did. How do you know that? Let me quote you chapter and verse. Yea, hath God said that you... Yeah, cut him off right there and say, yep, let me turn to the Bible and show you, right? This is what we have. The mysterious God. Has God revealed himself to you? Absolutely. Can God be known? Yes. And when you share the gospel with folks around you and with the people around you and try and win people to Christ, that's one of the first things they're going to do. Can you really know God? Do you really know God? And you explain to him, as Paul did, his wonderful testimony. Simple as that. God saved me. Let me show you from the Bible what the Bible says, how the Bible shows us we have a God that can be known. Amen? We know God. We have God. And he's making himself clearly known to us today. And he works in your life every single day. I'm so thankful for that. I love our Lord. And I'm appreciative that we've been given a Bible that we can follow. And that he's not a mystery. He's not afar off. Bad things come into our lives. Sometimes we feel that way. Lord, where are you? God says, I'm still right here. I'm in fact, even closer to you now than when in the good times. I'm closer. We trust him and we follow him. Okay, I'll stop there. Thank you for listening. Let's pray, Lord. Thank you so much for, again, coming together tonight. And Lord, I pray that some said here was a help, was a blessing, was an encouragement. I know the folks here, most of them, I believe truly are saved. And I praise you for that. Help us this week, Lord, as we go out. This world attacks not only the Bible, attacks the church, attacks us as your children. And they do not believe you're able to be known. They do not believe that you've made yourself known, but that you're a mystery. And Father, we're so thankful for the Word of God. Help us, Lord. Guide us. Protect us. Keep your hand upon us this week, Lord, as we all go out into this world, Lord. And these men here work amongst people that are ungodly, that are unsaved. Protect these men, Lord. Put your hand of blessing upon them. Keep them in your will, Father, and from sin, Lord. Be with these women that lead the homes and take care of the business and other things that they do, Lord. Protect them, guide them, empower them, Lord. Be with our children. Keep your hand and hedge about them, Father, especially. And Father, protect them from the adversary, from he that wants to destroy their lives, wants them to grow up and have nothing to do with church and nothing to do with you. Lord, we pray you'd help us as parents, help us as children of yours to be what we're supposed to be. We love you, God, and thank you for another time. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.